Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of Kalyan Jewellers India Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectation of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Agarwal. Thank you. Over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Kalyan Jewellers India Limited Q3 and nine-month FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us Mr. Ramesh Kalyanaraman, Executive Director, Mr. Sanjay Raghuraman, who is the CEO, Mr. Swaminathan, CFO, Mr. Sanjay Mehrotra, Head of Strategy and Corporate Affairs, and Mr. Abraham George, Head of Investor Relations and Treasury. I hope everyone got an opportunity to go through our financial results and investor presentation uploaded on the company's website and stock exchanges. We will begin the call with opening remarks from management, following which we will open the forum for questions and answer session. Before we start, I would like to point out that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentations shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Ramesh Kalyanaraman, Executive Director of Kalyan Jewellers India Limited, to give his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. The Q3 was excellent. The recently concluded quarter witnessed continued positive momentum in both footfalls and revenues across all the markets in which we operate. We recorded consolidated revenue growth of approximately 13% in Q3 FY 2023 over the same period the prior year, and 34% for YTD nine months FY 2023 over the same period in the prior year. Our PAT in Q3 was approximately 148 crore as compared to 135 crore for the same period in the prior year, a growth of 10%. Stepping back, as we look at our business over the last one year, past year, and aggregate the last four quarters, Kalyan has achieved revenue in excess of 13,500 crore and a PAT of approximately 434 crore. Within India, we witnessed revenue growth of approximately 12% despite a strong base, with Q3 of the prior year being the first normalized quarter post-COVID. Additionally, we know that December there was some muted demand, 3 weeks of December, especially because of the postponement of discretionary demand, which is now normalized in January, predominantly because of the gold prices. We continue to see encouraging trends around the share of new customers, which was in excess of 35%. The non-South revenue mix is again improving. It is now at 43% from 37% in the prior year. As you know, during the recently concluded quarter, we announced our plans to open 52 showrooms during the calendar year 2023. Significant portion of these would be franchise showrooms. As part of the strategy, we have invested significant amount of time and effort over the past three, four months in building our internal resources. We have hired approximately 900 staff, largely for the 20+ showrooms we will open before Akshaya Tritiya. Highest employee addition in a quarter in the history of the company so far. In the Middle East, we witnessed significant improvement in customer sentiment during the recently concluded quarter, with revenue growth in excess of 24%. We plan to launch the first franchise showroom in the Middle East during the first quarter of the next financial year. While the setting up of the franchise model is taking some time. We would not want to compromise on the growth potential, and we'll be selectively opening additionally owned stores with the internal accruals from the region. As I indicated earlier, our international business will be predominantly franchisee operated in the next 3 years. Talking about our online platform Candier, during the recently concluded quarter, we opened the second physical store. We have put together a store rollout plan for the next financial year and expect to take the share of its offline business to approximately 25% by the end of FY 2024. As I look at the current quarter's early performance, we continue to be encouraged by the robust momentum in revenue and footfalls across all our major markets. We continue to remain committed to our recently announced strategy of optimizing our OC profile using profits and free cash flow to repay debt and reward shareholders and lighten our balance sheet via the divestment of certain non-core assets. Now, I think over to you, Sanjay. You take them in detail about the numbers.
Thank you, Ramesh, and good afternoon, everybody. I'm really happy to be talking to you all after a great quarterly performance. For the just concluded quarter, our company reported consolidated revenue of 3,884 crores, a growth of 13% over the same period of the previous year. Consolidated EBITDA came in at 327 crores versus 299 crores in the same period of the previous year. And consolidated profit after tax came in at 148 crores versus 135 crores in the same period of the previous year. Next, I shall give you the breakup of the financial numbers between India and the Middle East, starting with India. For this just concluded quarter, our India revenue was 3,219 crores, a 12% growth when compared with the corresponding period in the previous year. And EBITDA for this just concluded quarter came in at 276 crores for the India business, a growth of 9% when compared with Q3 in the previous year. We recorded a profit after tax of 133 crores compared to a PAT of 118 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous financial year, a growth of 13%. Moving on next about our Middle East business. Our revenue for the quarter in the Middle East came in at 641 crores, a growth of 24% compared to Q3 of the previous year. EBITDA in the Middle East business came in at 52 crores versus 46 crores in the same period, quarter of the previous year. The Middle East business posted a profit of 17 crores for the quarter compared to a profit of 16 crores for the corresponding quarter in the previous year. Moving on next to talk about our e-commerce business, Candier.com posted a revenue of 44 crores in the quarter versus 47 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. And this quarter recorded a loss of 1.7 crores versus a profit of 26 lakhs for the corresponding quarter of the previous year. During this quarter, we had no bullion sale, and our gold coin sale to retail and corporate customers was about 155 crores, approximately 4.8% of total revenue. We increased our retail footprint in India by opening 6 more outlets in Q3 of FY23. Including one outlet for Candier.com. As of 31st December 2022, our total store count was 169. With this, I'm done with the summary of the financials, and we can now open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, Ramesh and team. Thanks for the opportunity.
Hi.
Yeah. You started with a very strong festive season. However, the base is also one thing which is there. But just wanted to check, I think this year there was a lot of competition on ground and everybody's tried to push the wedding jewelry. So in your sense, how the things and demand has happened per se, was it more skewed towards the gold exchange and give the benefit of wedding jewelry, or things are now normalized and we are going back to the pre-COVID days, like the normalized sale? So any comments on that?
Yeah, so as you said, no, festive demand was extremely high, and in November also demand was fairly good. December was a bit of what, a flat to negative because of the gold prices especially, and that is how it was. So not because of competition and not because of any other factors. January is back on track. Everything is normalized and momentum is extremely positive. And that is how it is.
Okay. So one follow-up here, that would you be able to quantify, saying that what was the SSG growth in quarter three?
No, I didn't get you there.
Same store sales growth?
Same store sales growth was approximately 5%.
Okay.
In so India, I mean.
If I have to break that 12% India growth, 5% is SSG.
Yeah.
And the balance would be grammage or how?
So you are talking about grammage, volume versus value?
No, I'm saying India business has grown 12%.
Yeah.
So in that 5% has come from same store sales growth.
Yes. 7% is from new stores.
7% is new stores.
Yeah.
And volume would remain flat.
So as I always say, you know, we look at value because people come with a bucket only, you know, because we don't. Yeah.
Okay. My second question is that in the presentation, you have said that we have executed 35 LOI for FOCO. However, the commentary is revolved around 900 people, 20 stores. So where this 35 and 20, I mean, is that the difference between 15 stores is going to come in next year, or if you can guide me that when these 20 stores will finally get executed?
Okay, so 11 of the 20 showrooms will be in Q4 itself.
Okay.
Out of the 35 signed, 11 will be in Q4 itself, and remaining 9 will be before Akshaya Tritiya. Akshaya Tritiya is in April, and
okay.
Rest will be after Akshaya Tritiya.
Okay. And this, what you have mentioned previously, this is all going to be non-metro, non-tier 1 towns and non-south markets.
It will be non-south, but not necessarily non-metro.
Okay. Okay. Okay, got it. My second question on the margin front, maybe if you can give some color on the gold metal loans, how you look at, and the basically the interest cost burden, what we should factor in. And the last view on the gold prices, because the gold has moved significantly higher. So any qualitative comments you can expect, because whenever the history tells that whenever the gold prices run faster, I think people will hold back the purchases.
Yeah, so we will come from the last regarding the gold prices. When a gold price volatility is very high, the people take some time to adapt to the new price, and especially the discretionary demand, wherein people don't have a hurry to buy, and they might push their purchase to the next occasion, maybe a birthday or an anniversary or any other function which is happening at home. Wedding demand, they will not be able to push it too much or prepone it too much because it has to happen on a particular date. So December, the last 3 weeks, actually it was, the revenue was not, the momentum was not very high. The demand was muted. It was actually what it was, same or a negative kind of growth which we were seeing. But in Jan, customers are back, revenue is good, demand is very high. Of course, we should give some lever to the low base which we had in January last year because of the Omicron. But even if you negate that, I think the momentum is extremely strong in Jan. And even wedding season is on, and that is what in January it is happening.
Okay. That's really
helpful.
Now,
when you come to the margin, so margin, you are talking about the EBITDA margin?
I'm talking about gross.
Okay, so gross margin, if you look at, it has been in the similar range, even with a better studded ratio and even with a better non-south revenue. Okay, that is basically because of the pressure from the unorganized segment in the gold pricing itself. The gold rate itself has a pressure, and there is high competition with regard to that, especially from the unorganized segment. Otherwise, the margin should have been improved more because we have a better non-south revenue and a better studded ratio as well.
That's
Middle
exactly.
East is stabilizing in the range of 15. Tourists are back, momentum is back. So Middle East is stabilizing in the range of 15.
No, exactly what you said. And when you look at the store split non-south and the revenue, I'm still saying that gross margin has not improved in tandem. So is there any specific one-off in this? Or maybe the better way to explain that is the exchange was higher, and maybe if you can help me the number, what was the exchange number? Because in the presentation you have said that the new buyer contribution is at 35%.
Yeah, so exchange is very similar to the last quarter and Q3 of the last year. It is in the range of 27-28% is the metal exchange which we have. It is not because of that. Metal price pressure was there in the quarter. It is even now there as we speak in January. The metal price pressure is there from the unorganized segment and from certain organized players as well. That is the major reason for the margin degrowth. Not degrowth in the sense where margin has not, improved even after a better studded ratio and a better non-south revenue mix.
Okay.
And of course, all of us should consider that it's not apple-to-apple comparison with Q3 last year, because the franchisee revenue has also started coming in, and the franchisee revenue, you know, it comes with a lesser gross margin.
Okay. Okay, got it. Ramesh, my last question on the gold metal loan, if any color you can provide, where do we stand at the end of quarter three?
It is in the range of 1,850 crore.
1,850 crore?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And all the best to you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from the line of Manoj Menon from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi team, just to start with a small query on the quarterly costs actually. So there is a comment in the presentation about certain one-off pre-operative costs for franchising. So would you be able to quantify this?
Yeah, so you know that the major pre-operative expense was regarding manpower, because we had to add approximately 900 employees during the last quarter, Q3. It is predominantly because of the store openings which we have lined up before Akshatridya. And to actually give a number, meaning it will be, you know, the employee cost per employee cost is in the range of what, 35 to 40K. That's the usual range of an employee cost. So EBITDA, maybe what, 0.2%?
Okay. Understood. Thank you. Secondly, you had issued a press release a few weeks back about 52 franchisees to be opened for this calendar year. There's also a comment in the presentation about some conversions from owned to franchising for capital unlocking, which you are attempting in South India. Does this 52 include this, or these are 52 completely new franchisee stores?
So 52 will be store expansion. Over and above that, we will do some store conversion from south to non-south. Meaning the south stores we will convert to franchisee stores wherein the capital will be unlocked.
Understood. Secondly, on the franchising bit, right, typically, if you could help us understand, let's say, what would be the typical size of the store, because given that these are mostly in smaller cities, towns, etc. And also, let's say, what is the typical starting inventory, of a franchising store?
So inventory will be in the range of 20 crore, average, I'm telling. So there are stores which is, even 25 or 28, but there are stores which even 18. So average you can treat it as 20 crore, and the first year revenue can be calculated as 50 crore, 2.5 stock turn on an annual basis for the first year.
No, exactly. So which essentially would mean that mid to high teens revenue growth for let's say rolling 12 months is very likely only from expansion.
Yeah, so Manoj, to give you more clarity, no. So if you look at our store expansion for the past 2 years, usually the footprint growth is around 10%, okay, and SSG will be 5%. So now the advantage is that this year, if you look at the next financial year, the store expansion will be 30%. So yes, you are right. The revenue growth for the next 2-3 years. Will be higher than the usual because the store expansion will be stronger, or the higher number of stores will come because the franchisee arm has been activated.
Fair point, Ramesh. Only one finer nuance which I thought wanted to clarify was, let's say own store versus a franchising. You could actually book the entire inventory on day one, whereas it will take a certain ramp up, in an own store. So in that sense, rolling 12 months, is likely to be higher because you will end up having more primary sales versus secondary.
Yes, correct. So because it comes in day one, and that is going to be the scenario for continuously, now it's meaning,
No, fair point, actually. Got it. And lastly, any update which you could give us, the larger audience, in terms of the progress on the non-core assets divestment?
Yeah, you mean the aircraft, right?
Yes. It's still there in the presentation, but just anything more?
We told you last time, we have engaged a consultant to explore divesting the aircraft, and we continue to engage with them very closely. And they are actively exploring options to sell the aircraft. Okay, the market conditions, is not the most ideal, but we remain committed to follow through on our stated intention. And even if we need to take a modest write-off, we will go with it because the intention is to liquidate the aircraft, and we should expect some potential, meaning maybe a write-off, but that's what we see from or hear from the market. But very early for us to come out with a number or to quantify it now.
No, fair enough. Okay. No, I think even if it's a small write-off, it's anyway non-cash charge actually. So
it's a non-cash write-off. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Thanks, guys. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nihal Mahesh Jham from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much and good evening to the management. Sir, I had one question which was on your opening remark about the competitive intensity. So two parts to that. First is this specifically in the south part where you're facing this competition from the unorganized channel, or is it pan-India? And second, what has led to this kind of increased competitive intensity over the last few months?
So it is pan-India situation. It's not only about South India. It is majorly because of the duty hike a couple of times. The difference between the gold which comes through the proper channel and otherwise the parallel market, the percentage is getting higher and higher, no? So that is the major area which actually is the reason for the price competition in the market. there's a sizable difference, you know, in the duty.
Sure, so that is the main aspect, or any other aspects which has changed which is leading to the increased competitive intensity?
That is the main, meaning we compete with mostly unorganized segment and certain regional players, right? That's a major competition for Kalyan per se. And the major pressure comes from the gold rate itself, and the reason for the same is the duty increase, and that is where. But one thing what we think is that the government is taking a lot of measures, making hallmarking compulsory. Again, they also realize that there is a kind of situation here in our country, and once it gets stabilized, I think the competition pressure will be coming down, and there might be one gold rate across the country in the next 1 year, at least amongst the organized players. That's what we think.
Appreciate that. Just one more question I had was on the non-core assets. Other than the aircraft, I think there are certain land holdings also. So is there any update on sale of those that you may want to just update, highlight?
So that we had told you that that is predominantly, you know, when there is a lot of free cash and we don't use that cash for any expansion. So this year, if you see, we have had expansion for our through our own store also. So predominantly in the next financial year, when there is free cash flow, because the expansion is going to be majorly driven by franchisee, that cash will be utilized to repay the bank debts, which in turn might free some lands mortgaged in the bank, which will be liquidated. So again, first thing is that the proceeds from the aircraft, of course, will be the first round of repayment of debt, and over and above that, the next year cash flow will also be utilized for the same.
Got that. That was it from my side. I wish you all the best. So much. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Naresh Vaswani from Samishka Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir.
Hi.
So, my first question was on the franchisee model. So, in that, what will be the inventory days on our books? And second is, given that majority of the expansion is through this franchisee, on a consolidated basis, where do you see the inventory turns going ahead in the next 3 years?
Yeah, so can you repeat the question? I missed it out somewhere.
Yeah, so my question is, for the franchisee business model, what will be the inventory days on our books? Because you will be selling the
that will be 10 to 15 days. We'll have to keep the
10 to
yeah.
Okay, 10 to 15 days. So, and then going ahead, how do you see the inventory going, the inventory turns moving ahead in the next 3 years? Will it reach 2.8 to 3 times?
So now, of course it will, because you know, the revenue is growing, and now we are almost in the range of 2.3 plus stock turn, and our target is to take it around 2.5 and then to 3 in the next 2-3 years. So that's our target. Yes.
Okay. And how will the gold hedging be done for this franchisee partners?
We don't own the inventory. No, it is owned by them.
So they, correct.
Yeah. So we don't, meaning we don't take the responsibility of hedging. So it is owned by them. The inventory is owned by them.
Right. But if they don't hedge,
meaning, I hope you understand.
Right. But if they don't hedge, then that would be a risk to this business model, right? I mean.
Yeah. So we have created a framework wherein. The gain which they get in the inventory, they don't take it they will not be able to take it out, okay? Because for us, the inventory should be in quantity rather than only the amount. So we decide a certain kilogram of inventory which has to be there, and it has to be refilled every day with the customer cash which is coming in, okay? And inventory risk is passed on to them, wherein it is not going to have any liquidity issue there, right? It's only a more of a P&L issue, and even the gains will be used to replenish the inventory only, refill the inventory only. There is no cash flow risk is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. And will it be
they don't close their book every quarter and all, no. They don't have that pressure, right? Yes. They are a individual company, so that's how it is.
Okay. And given that now majority will be franchise, will you be sharing this detail separately from the next quarter also?
Not from the next quarter. Yeah, because now it is a very competitive information because the number of franchises are very small. When it reaches a critical mass, we will surely start sharing it individually.
Okay, thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sameer Dalal from Natwarlal and Son Stockbrokers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. So a lot of the questions that I had were answered. There's just one thing. You know, the six franchisee stores that you've opened already, if you can give us a brief on how those have been performing and have they reached break-even, exactly what's happening at these six franchisee stores?
Yeah, so it's meaning it's on track, revenue is on track, and but because right from day one it becomes break-even, right? Because you know store level expenses are many very minimal, right? So it almost what 6 to 7% is a store level expense, and the margins are 20% plus. So from day one it becomes break-even. Okay, so the franchisees chose which way opened, everything is on track. Most of them have gone through the Diwali season. The revenue is going as per the targeted revenue which we needed. Profitability is strong. And there are franchisees from this so-called six itself who have come back to us to take the next set of showrooms. So it is going in the right direction.
Okay, and the second question, you know, just a follow-up. So what the previous speaker was asking, you know, when the franchisee doesn't hedge and you all have some sort of a profit share with the franchisee, right? So when the franchisee doesn't hedge and say the gold prices change drastically and it affects their profitability, wouldn't it affect your profitability if they haven't hedged it to some extent?
No, so we sell it to them with a gross margin which we have pre-decided. That is how we sell it to them. Okay, that is okay. Predominantly in the making charge, wherein for example if my cost is X, we sell it at Y, so that gross margin comes in at whatever gold price it is. Okay, and regarding the hedging of gold by the franchisees, you know that how they operate it is that whatever cash comes in, they buy the gold on the same day and they refill it. So there is no cash flow risk except valuation risk when it comes to their gold prices. Okay, and they do not close their books every quarter. They are not bothered on the volatility of their gross margin every month or every quarter. So for a traditional jeweler kind of setup, hedging is not actually necessary, because it does not affect his cash flow.
Okay, but that would affect his profitability, and you, I believe, have some sort of profit share. That's what I'm trying to address.
No, our profit share is when we sell, meaning...
So you are taking your profit up front.
For example, if the cost of a product is 1%, we sell it at 10%. That 9% is our margin. So for us, gold rate does not even impact us, right?
Okay. And this is, you're taking this margin after, because you all are working on a FOCO model, which is a franchisee owned but company operated. That means the staff that is selling is all that is on your books.
Yeah.
So you're taking the profit, including the staff cost, everything, you're taking that upfront. Is that fair to assume?
Correct.
So any risk on anything, it lies in the franchisee's book and nothing to you at all?
Nothing at all.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from the line of Rajiv from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, can you throw some light on the Candia degrowth? What exactly is leading to this, and how do how are you addressing this apart from, let's say, the store addition trajectory?
Sanjay, you want to take it?
Thanks so much.
So if you look at Candia as a business, you know, this is a business that was 100% online till recently. And if you look at the way the online businesses have evolved over a period of time, there's a stage in their life cycle when offline presence is key to grow. So we are in that phase. We are transitioning to a model where we will be online plus offline. If you look at the competitive landscape, that's also how businesses have scaled. As of now, we have two offline outlets operational. As Amesh mentioned in our opening remarks, we have a strong plan in place for the next financial year to ramp up count on our offline outlets. And as we ramp up on offline stores, growth will come back. And I believe by the end of next financial year, offline revenues will be at least 25 to 30% of total revenues. So we have a clear pipeline in place for offline stores to come through, as well as visibility on how it will work for us.
And this 25%, will be contributed by, let's say, what is the assumption in terms of store count?
What I meant to say was offline revenue will be 25% of total revenues in the Candia business.
No, I got that. But those are two stores as of now, right? So let's say by FY24 end, where do you want to take this?
By the end of next financial year, we should be at about 30 outlets totally.
Okay, great. And secondly, in terms of the Middle East operation, so there was mid-teen SSG there. Can you help me there? Is there an operating leverage which can kick in there and which we haven't seen this time around?
Yeah, so Middle East, again, I told you that, of course, when the revenue growth is there in the range which we see now, operating leverage should start stepping in. And if you had noticed, the gross margin level has a degrowth, wherein pre-COVID it was in the range of what, 16-17%, now it's in the range of 15%, which was, of course, forecasted, because once the revenue momentum starts kicking in, tourists come back and competition starts kicking in, we had expected a 15-15.5% gross margin, which is on track. But when the revenue top line grows, of course, there can be operating leverage should start kicking in. And again, we have a franchisee plan also in action there, as I mentioned, and we will be working on it in such a way that in the next 2-3 years, I think it should be a predominantly franchisee-driven arm for us, Middle East.
Sure. And in a few opening questions, you talked about 5% SSG on the overall India business. Can you break that into South and non-South? Because the South piece hasn't moved much. So is there an SSG significant, a low single-digit SSG in the South piece?
Yeah, so South would have grown only, what, less than 2%. If you look at the total growth itself, non-South would have grown at 28%. I'm not talking SSG. The total revenue growth from non-South market would have been in the range of 28%, and South in the range of 2%, and almost everything is SSG in South. But the 28% everything is not SSG, because we have added showrooms only in the non-South, predominantly in the non-South region for the past, couple of years now. Okay, that is one of the reasons that the non-South revenue growth is much more than the South. But again, one or two areas where the South revenue growth is not as much as non-South, even the SSG, is majorly because the base was higher in the last year, because you would remember that there was a lot of migrations happening during that time, where people were staying in their hometown in South India during the last year in Q3. And again, in December this year, when the gold prices went up, the discretionary demand usually gets impacted in Kerala, Karnataka, and Andhra Pradesh, because December is a high discretionary demand month for these three markets. So the impact was there in December, which would have again impacted the South revenue.
And if you can help me with how does this share of new customers at 35% tie up with the SSG and let's say by market, the 35% is largely non-South, is safe to assume that?
Yeah, so it should be higher than, meaning non-South, new customer growth will be surely higher because the new showrooms, all the customers are new customers. That is how it is. But otherwise, the ratio how we see is that if we have 100 customers coming in or 100 invoices done, 35% of that is from new customers. New customers we see is that if they have not come to us in 2 years, we treat them as a new customer.
Sure, but in the South, this number would be, I mean, can you give some color there?
Yeah, so I don't have a number right now, but there will be a healthy new customer addition in the South as well.
Sure. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and follow-up. Ramesh, I'm slightly confused. You mentioned that we will open 52 franchise stores, correct?
Yes.
That will come up in F24.
Okay, so yes.
Okay.
Calendar year 2023. So that was the announcement, but you can keep it as 52 showrooms for the next financial year as well. That also can be, meaning
that's
it's almost the same.
So my point here is that today when we see that we have existing stores and our store count in India is about, if I exclude Middle East, about 137 stores. So 137 plus 52 franchise. That's the correct way to look at it.
Correct.
And on top of it, my question was, we earlier had said that about 14, 15 stores, we will add our own store.
Yeah.
Will that take a backseat or we will still open our stores also?
Next year, we will predominantly do only franchise. Our store expansion will not be there. It will be very minimalistic. It will not be in the range of 14, 15 because, as I mentioned earlier, the next 2-3 years, our primary focus will be to use the, existing... the excess cash flow to repay debts, take out the non-core assets, liquidate it, further lighten the balance sheet. That will be the next 2 years. And again, 52 openings itself needs a lot of bandwidth, right? So over and above 52, we would not do the 10 or 15 owned stores.
Got it. My second question, what Sanjay just mentioned, that today we are having Candere 2 offline store, and we're going to take it up to 30. So even in Candere also we are doing FOCO, or this will be largely our own stores? And maybe if you can give some numbers around it, what is the current size, what is the throughput you are expecting, and maybe some gross margin, because 30 is a big number which we're talking.
Yeah, so initially... there will be a lot of owned stores, and we, of course, we have franchisee inquiries coming in, but we would not do immediately. We will just wait and watch for our existing owned stores to get settled down, and then only do franchisee for Candere.
So you mean to say all 30 will be our own stores for FY24?
It need not be, but at least a dozen will be our own.
Okay, got it. So half of that you are saying that will be our own store.
Yeah.
And in terms of revenue, any number you could provide, what kind of monthly, annual revenue we can build in our model?
Yeah, so average as the inventory levels in these kind of stores are in the range of 1.5 crores, and the average stock turn is around 4 to 5.
Yeah. Okay. And my last question is on slide 35. You have mentioned that South revenue has grown only 2%.
Yeah.
Now, this is one reference point. The market leader in the organized industry has taken South as a case, and they're putting a lot of discounting. They're putting a lot of new designs, and they're trying to target the wedding jewelry. Now, is it the fact or outcome or is the result that the competition from the organized players is also heating up and that's why the South's revenues is taken sluggishness, or maybe there is genuine demand that people have withhold the purchases?
No, not at all. Because October and November, the revenue was strong in the South. December usually comes with a lot of discretionary demand in South India, especially in Kerala, Karnataka and Andhra. Kerala comes with Christmas and Andhra, Karnataka comes with other festivals like Sankranti, etc. And that is the reason for the South being 2% and non-South being 28%. And again, one more thing which has to be highlighted is that Q3 in the last financial year, the base was heavy in South India because there were a lot of people who were working in the metros who were settled in the South, and the base would have been higher in the South. And otherwise, we don't see any competition from any new or existing organized players in the South, because you know that we are one of the leading players in the South India.
Sure. And my last question on ROCE. Right now, we are in the range of 16-17%. And I think at two, three slides, you have mentioned that the focus is going to improve with the capital light, asset light model, and we are going to improve. So is there any meaningful target you have in mind over next 2 to 3 years, which you can spell it out right now?
Yeah, Abraham, you want to take it?
Shirish, we don't want to give a number here, but we're looking at meaningful improvement in ROCE profile over the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Because, because these franchise showrooms are coming with no real capital employed. So that will clearly improve the return profile. And also, we're trying to reduce the capital employed by divestiture of assets as well as conversion of showrooms.
No, I agree, Abraham, what you said that. But say today, we are talking about 52 number over 136.
Yeah.
So almost 40% number, we're talking about the franchise stores. So does that mean, I mean, arithmetically, are we targeting 35-40% to reach to next 3 years?
That's like a big number. So,
I know,
but it's a meaningful improvement from where we are now. Yeah.
Okay. No problem. Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from the line of Sanika Kemani from Middleton Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, sir. First of all, I congratulate you for a very good set of numbers.
Thank you.
My question is that that in the last budget, the government has just shown a lot of thrust in the lab-grown diamonds. So I want to understand what impact will this have on our business? And my second question is, are we looking to venture out in this segment?
Yeah, so we are closely watching the market. As of now, we are getting very limited inquiry for lab-grown diamonds. The supply ecosystem is developing in India. The government is also giving what incentivizing for the same. And as and when the diamond, the demand grows for that segment, we will be there to meet the demand.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from the line of Shri Kumar V from KJ. Please go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, the line of Shri Kumar has disconnected. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. As there are no further questions, I now hand over the conference to Mr. Ramesh Kalyanaraman for closing comments.
Thank you very much. So, looking forward for the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Kalyan Jewellers India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.